What a great week for blockchain gaming. Axie Infinity released their own governance token and so many Halloween events. Welcome to the 7th episode of Games from the Block. I'm George Agarakis, strange surname, strange podcast. And today I'm going to talk about AXS, Axie Infinity Shards, the new governance token from the Pokemon-inspired trading card game. Sky Mavis, the company behind Axie Infinity, has raised millions to develop an ecosystem for Axie Infinity. And now, with the governance token, they're going to raise more, right? The sale went live on Binance Launchpad on the 27th of October 2020, and I'm locked outside Binance because I lost my phone and I don't have second factor verification. So I strongly advise you to use second factor verification and keep a backup. So many Halloween events in Decentraland, in Hush Rush, in almost every engine game. You can play and win. Of course, you can play Chains Arena with 45,000 USDT in prizes. Tell me, have you seen Blancos? Blancos World Party, the EOS game? They are selling Blancos figures right now, along with Early Access, which is coming next month. Early next month, I think 17th, if I'm not mistaken. So if you want to have Early Access, you have to grab a Blancos, which begins from $25 and goes all the way up to $150. The Blancos come in a special case and you have to unbox them first. So if you are looking to invest, and this is not a financial advice, do not unbox your Blancos. Don't play with them. And to our main story for today, Patrick Collins, developer for Chainlink, is with us, and we are going to discuss about Chainlink and gaming. Patrick, thank you for being with us here today to Games from the Block podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Why don't you tell us about the VRF technology?
Yeah, so Chainlink VRF, as those of you who are listening might have heard already, recently finally went live on mainnet. And this is incredibly exciting because getting random numbers in Solidity and in smart contracts and blockchain and decentralized applications has historically been really, really hard, actually. Getting a random number in a deterministic system is basically impossible. So now there's finally a way where you can get a provably random, provably secure random number for your smart contract. And a lot of the applications are really crazy. George, do you want me to go into some of the tech pieces now, or who's using it, or I can go a whole lot of different directions here?
Yeah, I would like to talk about how does this solve this problem. But before we go there, I want you to tell me, why is this impossible?
Yeah.
Why it's impossible to generate random numbers?
Yeah, really good question. So, historically, actually, in just in computer science as a whole, getting random numbers has been hard. And specifically in blockchain, it's really, really difficult because blockchains are supposed to be deterministic systems. They're supposed to be set up in a way where if you replayed the first block and then every single transaction all the way up to the current block, so like Bitcoin, if you played it from the first block to today, Ethereum, if you played it from the first block to today, you should end up in the exact same state, right? And so this determinism actually makes it really difficult to create random numbers because you are a deterministic system. How do you create, if you can determine what the random number is, it's not really random anymore. The conventional way, or the previous way people kind of have approached the problem, is using the block hash as their random number. But there's a huge issue with this. If a miner can be highly incentivized to not publish a block, or a group of miners can be incentivized to not publish a block, and this will tip the scale of fairness. And then George, actually, before we started recording, you asked me a good question. You were like, okay, well, what's an example? Which I thought was a really good question. And
the lottery, right?
What's that? Yeah, exactly, the lottery. So let's say you're a miner and you sign up for a lottery, a decentralized lottery on the blockchain where you could win $1 million. Now you're going along and you're mining your blocks, and you mine a block that would be the winning block, right? But it's not the lottery number that you picked. So what do? You throw it out. You just don't publish it. So you would forego the 2-3, you know, on Ethereum, it's like 2-3 ETH or something like that right now. You'd forego the 2-3 ETH of reward for mining the block, but for a better chance to win your $1 million or however big the lottery is. So you can actually be financially incentivized to start being unfair, you know, at as low as, you know, like 4 ETH. So a miner is actually highly incentivized in this situation to not publish this block. And, you know, let's say you get a group of miners who are also involved in this lottery, they start throwing out blocks. And now you don't have this really fair random system anymore. Now you have a group of miners who are actually manipulating the probability of their number being pulled, as opposed to, you know, it being truly fair. So this is why using the block hash is really, really not a good use case. And there's a ton of mining pools that would also be financially incentivized to act like in this way. So and they can have large effects on the swings of the whole network. So that's why it's actually really important to use Chainlink VRF to get your random number, because you're getting a provably verifiably random number. As opposed to relying on these entities and relying and trusting these entities.
So you're basically saying that if a group of miners, because I think an individual miner can do the difference, but a group of miners can reject mining a block, and this creates an unfair situation.
Yeah.
Let's say for the lottery example.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, perfect. Now that I get it. How does VRF work?
Yeah,
technically.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of cryptographic magic that goes on behind the scenes. For those of you who are really interested, you can go and check out. You can check out the paper. It's actually based off of. I think it's Goldberg's. I want to make sure we have that. Yeah, it's based off of Goldberg's verifiable random function. For those of you interested, you can go check it out. But basically what it does is you send a seed along with your request for a random number. And each Chainlink node has a key hash, both a public and a private key. And that public key is what's actually used in conjunction with that seed phrase to return a value that's provably random. There's a lot of on-chain bits that will actually check to say, okay, is this number random? So when the Chainlink node actually returns the random number on-chain, you can verify right away whether or not it's provably truly random based off of that node's specific keys. So this is really, really powerful. The worst thing that a node can do is just not respond, and that's really easily solved by having a decentralized network of Chainlink VRFs. But in essence, you now have a way where you can say, "Hey, my number is provably random. My number is provably secure." So that's kind of the high level of how it works. Again, if you really want to dig into the cryptography, you can check out Goldberg's verifiable random number function.
Okay, so what are some use cases for VRF? Where can we apply this besides gaming?
Obviously? Yeah, so gaming obviously is a huge one. And randomness in general is just, it's a really important piece in any system and computer science and any application. I mean, you can think of, you know, life sciences, for example. If you want to run clinical trials, if you want to run random randomly sampled clinical trials, you're going to need random numbers. For gaming, obviously, you know, loot boxes, random spawns, random drop boxes. There's tons of different places there. If you want to do some of these more interesting DeFi applications, like a decentralized lottery, we're seeing more and more surprising use cases that we hadn't even seen of. Like we saw somebody use a Chainlink VRF to create random ticketing codes or QR codes or one-time passwords. There's really, you know, the sky's really the limit when it comes to...
Yeah, no limits.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so basically VRF is a randomizer, right? It's a transparent, not exactly. Is it transparent? Can we say it's transparent? It's not.
Yeah, it's...
The thing here is not being transparent, right?
No, it's very transparent. As in...
It's very transparent when it comes to the code and how it works. I'm talking about the numbers, like VRF is basically...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, how it gets the number is very transparent, but... What the random number is going to return, you don't know.
Okay, perfect. Now, let's get to gaming. I remember a few months back, the VRF was implemented by Savas Lazopoulos from BlockPegnio to his game, The Six Dragons. And they used VRF for enhancing and crafting. And they basically said back then to the press release, that now that we use the VRF technology, we can't tamper the data of what the players craft. Now, is that the logic behind gaming when it comes to VRF?
What was this? What was this company?
BlockPegnio. The game is called Six Dragons. Yeah. It's an engine.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how they were actually previously generating random numbers, but yeah, I mean, that hit the nail on the head, right? If you want to create some random items in a game or some random stats, you know, Chainlink VRF is going to be your best friend because it's a way to say, okay, we're going to get a random number and we can't tamper with it. There's nothing we can do, and that creates a really fair environment for gamers.
Okay, is there any traction now that the VRF is live on Ethereum mainnet? Do developers use it?
Yeah, so we're seeing more and more users, more and more companies actually picking it up. Pool Together is one of the big ones, and we have a blog coming up pretty soon with a bunch of the other ones that are planning on using it more. Centaur and Uniland are two other companies that are looking to implement this sooner. And recently, at a lot of our hackathons that have been going on, like ETH Global, for example, there was actually a number of gaming projects that did use Chainlink VRF to create, you know, their random in-game items or their random drop rates, which was really, really exciting to see. We're seeing more and more projects in the gaming realm actually use the Chainlink VRF, which is just beyond exciting because now we can really have these games where nobody can mess with any of the randomness.
Is this free to use for the developers? Can they use the VRF for free or they have to pay an amount in link tokens?
Yeah, so whenever you make an off-chain request, similar to whenever you make an on-chain request, you have to pay what's called gas, right? You have to pay a little bit to the miners or a little bit to the validators to validate or mine your transaction. It's actually the same thing when you're working with oracles. So you pay a little bit of Chainlink to the oracle to say, hey, thank you for getting my provably random number. And that's how that works. So you pay a little bit of oracle gas, which is going to be that Chainlink.
So we are not talking about Ethereum gas. Now we are talking about Oracle's gas. Right.
Yep, we're talking about Oracle gas, right? So it's on Ethereum, you know, it's going to be you're going to get a Chainlink token.
Do you pay Ethereum gas on top of that?
Yes and no. So the node actually, to make the request, yes, because you're actually, you know, you're changing the blockchain, you're making a request to a node. Yeah. But the Chainlink node actually pays the transaction gas to post that random number back on chain. So you and the node split it, basically.
Okay, cool. So what's next for Chainlink, Patrick?
VRF-wise or just in general?
In general, for Chainlink, you guys have created a formal situation in the whole industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good question. There's a lot of really exciting things coming down the pipeline. Some of the ones, I don't think we have enough time to go over all of it in this call. But some of the really exciting ones that I'm interested in is one of the big ones is off-chain reporting, and threshold signatures. So those are two, really exciting pieces that allow, people to get data, way cheaper, and instead of having on-chain aggregation, you can do a little bit of an off-chain, so it saves a ton of gas, and is really, really fast and really, really efficient. So that's something that I'm really excited for. I'm excited for the DeFi space to keep exploding. Right now, Chainlink is securing a number of the top projects in the DeFi space. It's securing billions of dollars right now. I'm excited to see the DeFi space keep exploding and Chainlink kind of keep leading the charge when it comes to secure data delivery. I'm actually really excited for gaming in general. I feel like we're really just kind of now starting to scratch the surface with some of these decentralized games and decentralized, not decentralized, but NFTs, yeah. Yeah, we're really just scratching the surface. We're really kind of starting to get into the groove here, and there's so many possibilities. And every hackathon, for those of you who are an engineer, you know, definitely go check out a hackathon. ETH Global puts on some awesome events. We just recently put on an awesome event, and you can see all the innovation there. Like, the pieces are there. Engineers are building these awesome projects, and it's only a matter of time before they start getting adopted more and more mainstream.
Definitely. We haven't seen nothing yet when it comes to gaming. We're going to see zillions of things, new things and new use cases happening for sure. So, Patrick, my last question for you is, what does Chainlink do for DeFi? What is that you guys do for this newborn industry?
Yeah, so DeFi stands for decentralized finance, right? And something that's crucially important in finance is getting data, right? You know, what's the price of Ethereum right now? What is, you know, is it raining for my weather insurance? Did something happen to, you know, my car or the like? But right now, what Chainlink is doing for DeFi is Chainlink is actually the pipeline for bringing on decentralized data. And the most popular data right now is pricing data by far. So the Chainlink price feeds is being used by a number of the top DeFi projects to get reliable pricing data. And so the price data is decentralized price feeds, which is insanely powerful because none of these projects have to rely on a centralized oracle or a centralized source, meaning that they can kind of just not worry about it and they can sleep easy at night knowing that their oracle system is taken care of. So that's what Chainlink is doing for DeFi right now. And we're seeing more and more price feeds come online, more and more projects looking to get price feeds. And even outside of price feeds, you can get any data that you want in a decentralized manner right now. So we're seeing more and more projects start to pick up on that. But right now, the most popular piece is price feeds in the DeFi space.
Why should a project use your oracles to get the prices instead of using, for example, CoinMarketCap's API?
Great question. So my first answer is actually it's really easy. it's super easy for an engineer to hop online and if you check out the documentation, you can really get spun up in, like, you know, 60 seconds if that. But the more important piece actually is that the data is centralized. So if you're pulling your data from CoinMarketCap, you're pulling your data from a centralized source. If CoinMarketCap has, you know, if they get hacked, if they go down, or if they are malicious, your decentralized application is going to execute whenever their data and the parameters of your decentralized application are met. So if you say, you know, buy when the price of Bitcoin is you know, 10,000 or something like that, and CoinMarketCap is giving you bad data saying it's $9,000 when it's really $20,000, you're never going to buy. And this is huge. This is a huge issue. And we've actually seen a lot of issues with centralized sources and centralized oracles causing decentralized smart contracts to lose a lot of money. So the price feeds actually come from a decentralized aggregate of APIs. This way you never have to trust a single centralized source or a single centralized entity, which is kind of what smart contracts and decentralized applications are made for in the first place, right? The reason that someone builds a blockchain application is so they can have a decentralized source. So if you have a decentralized logic, but your data is coming from a centralized source, you've basically nullified or removed any advantage that you got from your decentralized application.
Okay, thank you. I get it now. So obviously the past question wasn't my last one. I have new questions now in my mind. Do you concern about security? I mean, Harvest Finance was hacked 2 days mm-hmm. ago for $24 million.
Yep.
That's insane.
Yeah. So that's a really good question. And I mean, that's why Chainlink is where it is. And that's why Chainlink has done what it's done. And we've seen stuff, you know, like not only Harvest Finance, but stuff like KuCoin too, right? KuCoin was having, KuCoin got hacked. And because of the hack, a lot of the pricing data around their coins was bad. It got messed up. So if you were pulling your data from exclusively from KuCoin, you're going to be, you know, a wild amount of percentages different from what the market value actually was. So Harvest Finance got hacked, right? So these things happen, and it's why it's so important to make sure if you're getting data, you're getting it from decentralized sources. So, which is why Chainlink is so powerful, because even if CoinMarketCap gets hacked, even if CryptoCompare gets hacked, even if the oracles providing these APIs get hacked, since you're decentralized, you pretty much have to do a 51% attack on the Chainlink network. So it's the same concept that makes blockchain work. It's what makes chain work.
Yes.
So, you know,
is it possible to launch a 51% attack on Chainlink?
In the same sense that it's possible to launch a 51% attack on blockchain. So basically it's astronomically harder than it is to hack a. It's actually insanely hard to do that too. Essentially it's impossible because each node is going to have wildly different security metrics. So it's like you have to hack Twitter, you know, a lot of times. You basically have to go through the work of hacking Twitter a lot, many, many times, and across and in a very short time span. So it's actually insanely hard to get.
What does Chainlink do for the DeFi space? Do you provide like Oracle feeds, or you provide the whole infrastructure for DeFi projects to build on? For example, if a bank comes tomorrow to Chainlink and say, hey, we want to build a DeFi application here, can you guys help them, or you just provide the Oracle feeds?
Ah, good question. Yes and yes, in a way. The main thing, so Chainlink is providing these price feeds or these data feeds, right? It doesn't even have to be price feed. It can be any data at all. Because we work with so many DeFi projects, we're also very well versed in how setting them up goes. We actually have a sample DeFi project on our blog if you want to check it out. It's building like a yield farming DeFi app using the price feeds. It's really cool. Any engineers listening, definitely go check it out. So the main answer is we provide the data. We provide the decentralized data. However, because of the nature of how important data is in DeFi, there's a ton of use cases and a ton of examples if you're looking to spin up a DeFi project that that the Chainlink community can definitely help out with. And the Chainlink community is fantastically helpful. So if you have any questions, any technical questions, almost always somebody will be happy to chat with you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Patrick, for being with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, George. Yeah, this was a blast. Thanks for having me.
Okay, guys, if you made it here, 25 minutes and 30 seconds, you are a hero. And since you listened to the whole podcast, please go to iTunes, go to Spotify, like, subscribe, leave a comment, tell the algorithm that we are doing something great here, and let the other gamers know about blockchain gaming. Thank you, and see you to the next episode.